Well, it's good to be in church this morning on this Father's Day, and you've already been greeted. And whether you're a father by virtue of having children, or you just are someone who is a father figure in someone's life, we say thank you for taking that very important role. Amen? That you are men of God who want to lead the way in that respect. Be sure and get your little payday on your way out. All right? Because how many believe everybody deserves a payday? All right? Except women today. But if you men want to share your payday with your ladies, that's okay as well. Just a little something to say. We appreciate you this morning. Would you take your prayer sheet this morning and let's go to prayer for the needs that have been presented to us today. And then I have a message that I'd like to share this morning. I just heard, Sally just shared with me that our friend Curtis is not doing well today at all, and really pray for him. He's really, really struggling. And then Hardy's brother Tom is going in for open heart surgery, I think, tomorrow. And so we'll add those to our list this morning along with other things we have here and other things you may have in your life and your realm of influence that you want to pray about. We're going to do that right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of bringing before you the needs that have been brought to us this week. And in addition to the ones listed, Lord, we add Tom and Curtis to those and other things that are on people's minds and people's hearts today, Lord, we bring them to you. We thank you, Lord, for the praise report and for Mimi's good report of no cancer. We say thank you, Jesus. What a relief that is, Lord, to them. We thank you, Lord, that our word of the Lord for us today, I will not be shaken. That is a promise we can all hold on to today, no matter what we might be going through. I pray for every name on our list, Lord. You see the needs. You see who they are. And we ask you, Lord, to minister to them in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to remember your people today who are praying right now in their seats and asking you to do things, Lord, that most of us will not even know about, but you know because you care and understand. We thank you that you're the God of the impossible and that we're not. We can't do sometimes anything about our situations, but we know that God can. And as long as we know that God can, we know that God will, and we pray to that end, Lord, that you will help us. Lord, as we open the Bible this morning, we pray that you would anoint the words that I've prepared, translate them into what the audience can understand. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege that we have of being in the house of the Lord together today. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians, please. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. This morning I want to begin a message. I'm not sure I'll complete the message today, but I want to begin a message from the 6th chapter of Ephesians, verses 10 through 20. It'll be a familiar passage to most of you that have read your Bibles any length of time at all. If you're new to the faith, this might be new information, but I think for most people here in this first service, it's probably things that you have read before, and it won't be new news to you, but I trust that it will be a challenge to all of us. As we look to this passage of Scripture. I want to talk today on the subject of warrior. Warrior. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ never claimed the title of a prophet. He saw others as prophets, but he did not see himself as one. He saw the work of the prophet as an active ministry of the early church and foresaw that it would continue being a work in the church as long as the church existed. That's what we read in Ephesians as well, the fivefold ministry. One of them was the work of prophet. But the reading of these words that he has written for us today, written over 2,000 years ago, you would have to say that Paul fit the bill for one. These ominous words from the pen of Paul, but remember, they are inspired by the Holy Spirit, are as much for us today as they were for his day. Do you believe that? They're as much for us today as they were for his day. They are at the same time an admonition and a warning for the people of God. An admonition and a warning for the people of God. Spiritual warfare wasn't just for the ancient believers. Can I say that again? I said spiritual warfare wasn't just for the ancient believers. And you're going to have to do better than that, or you're not going to get your payday until 10:30. I said spiritual warfare wasn't just for the ancient believers. It's important to remember that, because that's what this passage is about. It is as much for us today as in any generation. We who hold the faith of Jesus Christ precious in this generation are called to be warriors. We are called to be warriors. It cannot just be the pastors or the prayer leaders or those with the calling of intercession. The call to be a warrior is to every believer that lives beneath the shadow of the cross. I believe that with all my heart. The call to be a warrior, a spiritual warrior, if you would. In 1911, the hymn was written, and one of the verses says, "Rise up, O church of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great." In the Promise Keepers movement, they shifted that a little bit and said, "Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great." And I believe we need to shake that hymn up a little bit for our generation. We warriors of the Lord need to rise up and help the church become great again. Come on. Rise up and make her great. Her strength unequal to her task. When we look at the church today and we look at the culture we live in and the war that we're in, the church is not equal to that task if people don't understand their role as a warrior. The church will fail if we don't grasp the understanding that we are warriors for the Lord. And this 1911 hymn isn't just for another generation, it's for us. We are called to be warriors. And it's the utmost important that we be outfitted for the call. Thus we have the whole armor of God. Now, nobody likes to think about having to go to war. We don't like that. We don't like that in our nation, but we know how important it is to be ready to do warfare if warfare is what we must do. And it seems to me that whenever we become a Christian, when we give our hearts to the Lord, I think one thing that people ought to be reminded of is that you are coming into a battle. Because you see, our flesh and our spirit do battle against one another all the time. The men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings just finished the book of Romans. And in that first part of Romans, we took a lot of time talking about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And without exception, those 20-some men around those tables on Tuesday mornings confessed to the fact that we all struggle and we all fight that spiritual battle within us. But how many know there's also a battle out there? And we need to be prepared for that. Now, we've got two choices. We can read this passage and you can say, that was for another day and another time. That is not for us. I don't want to be a warrior. You can say that if you want to. But that doesn't change the fact that we are in a warfare as the people of God. Or you can read it, we can read it and say, I want to be involved in that. I want to be a fully dressed warrior ready to do battle with whatever the Lord leads me into, whatever is coming. I want to be ready. Amen? And I would say to every believer, you need to be ready because when as the wars happen, as they will, you know, that it's either the Lord's side or the world's side. That's where it comes down to. Amen? Remember that old story in the Bible where, was it Elijah that said, you that are on the Lord's side, come over here, and you that are against the Lord, you go over there. And I think it's that Mount Carmel time, if you will. I want to talk about this passage in the light of how it relates to every one of us today. Chances are good that many of you don't consider yourself a spiritual warrior. And maybe that just doesn't fit your description of what it is to be a believer. No, Pastor, I think a believer, I think a Christian is just someone, he comes to church, they come to church, he sits there, you know, we pay our tithe and we shake hands with everybody, we live a good life, and we just go along that way and everything will be fine. Well, you know, you might feel that way, but I'll tell you, you have an enemy that feels differently. And he doesn't mind if we don't prepare for war. He's going to bring it at us anyway. Come on. Amen? He's going to bring it at us anyway. What I would rather see as a pastor, what I'd rather see as a believer, as a man who loves the Lord and wants to live for the Lord, I want to be prepared for whatever comes. I want to be prepared for whatever comes. When I was in the Boy Scouts the way it used to be years ago, one of the things that we always stuck with was those two simple words. What? Be prepared. Be prepared. And I think as Christians today, Christian men and Christian ladies, we need to what? Be prepared. And that's what this Ephesians passage is about. It's about being prepared, having on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand because we have an enemy. All right, let's get into it and see how far we can get this morning. And if you're not here next week, I'll know that you don't like me and didn't care for the message at all. I'm really kidding. Some of you plan to get away to the beach next week, and I, you know, I'm not bitter over that at all. Give them flat tires before they leave, Lord. I'm kidding. It says in verse 1, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. First thing I want to talk about is the sense of being strong. What does it mean to be strong? To be strong in the Lord. It seems to me that as Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers, the believers at Ephesus, he somehow senses that there is coming a time when they are going to be challenged. As a matter of fact, we don't have time this morning, but later, if you want to turn, I believe it's in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where Paul addresses the Ephesian elders as he leaves Ephesus, and he will never see them again. And there is this scene of him getting ready to get on board a boat, and the elders are there to say goodbye to him. And he embraces them, and they fall to their knees, and they begin to weep on one another's shoulders. I believe that there Paul saw something for the future of the Ephesian church. And he said to them, after my departure, he said, when I'm gone, there is going to come in ravenous wolves to the sheep. There's going to come in ravenous wolves to the church at Ephesus. And but prophetically, I believe it wasn't just the church at Ephesus. It was all the churches that he had established. He says, they're going to come in ravenous wolves. And if they have their way, they will tear you apart. And I think that's one reason he would write back to them later this passage and say, you must be strong in the Lord. Why? Because you're going to have to fend off those wolves that are coming after the flock. You're going to have to stand strong. And that is a message as much to elders today as it is for elders in that day. And for every, pardon, man that is here today, that is your job as the elder of your home to protect your home from the wolves that want to destroy your home, your children, your grandchildren, and your family. Or if you're a single mom and you're heading up the household yourself, it falls to you. Somebody's got to be strong because the wolves are coming after every sheep they can find. Come on. Every sheep they can find. And they're coming after it today, whether it's through our culture, whether it's through the media, whether it's through the education system, whatever it is, they're coming after our sheep. But that's why we must be strong. That's why we can't have a, oh, c'est la vie attitude. Whatever will be, will be. We can't have that. If we're going to be Christians, we got to be strong in the Lord. Amen? As a matter of fact, it's this very image that Paul wants us to see when he wrote his letter to Timothy, his second letter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'll keep your finger on Ephesians, we'll be right back there again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses, I believe it's 1 through 7. Listen to his words to young Timothy, a young pastor. You therefore, my son, verse 1, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that's going to be the pattern, Timothy. You be strong. You teach your men to be strong. Those men will teach other men to be strong. And those men will teach others to be strong. And this would include the ladies as well. Generation after generation after generation has the responsibility of teaching everyone to be strong. Do you think that ended at any point in history? Do you think that admonition stopped with the greatest generation who did their part to protect freedom from tyranny in World War II? Do you think that stopped with them? Did it stop with the baby boomers? Has it stopped today? How many believe that admonition to Timothy is still alive today, that we need to teach people how to be strong? Amen? We need to teach people how to be strong in the Lord. Look at verse 2. I'm sorry, we've already read verse 2. Look at verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good, what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. So there's the image that we have in Ephesians 6. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Who enlisted us as soldiers in the Lord's army? Who did that? Jesus Christ did, didn't he? And what does it say that we should do to Jesus Christ? We should do the things that are what? Pleasing to him. Not get ourselves involved in affairs that would pull us away, but be pleasing unto him who enlisted us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what? You don't have a choice. You have been drafted. You are in the army of the Lord. You say, not me. I don't like that word war. I don't like that word warfare. I don't like that idea of soldiering. Well, I'm sorry. You're in the wrong outfit then, because that's what being a Christian is about. We are a soldier of the Lord. Amen? Not only are we a soldier, read on, please. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So the second image is one of an athlete. You say, I'll take that one. That's safer. No, we didn't get a choice in this. We are a soldier first. And then he says, it's like being an athlete. And then he says in verse 8, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. The third image is that of a farmer. You say, that's even better. I'll take that. Don't want to be a soldier because I don't want to fight. Don't want to be an athlete because they have to train so much. I'll be a farmer because they don't work hard at all. Oh, yeah? Just ask a farmer. Amen? Next time you sit down and have a good meal from the produce you bought at the store, I like the bumper sticker. Thank a farmer. Amen? Thank a farmer. Come on! Some of you are going, that came from a farmer? Come on! Consider what I say, verse 7, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So he says, consider what I've just said, and the Lord give you understanding. And so it's important then for us to look for an understanding of those three examples that he gave. That we are called to be soldiers, we are enlisted to be soldiers. It's like being an athlete, it's like being a farmer. And without belaboring this too much, the important thing here in the context of the message is the fact of a soldier. And being a soldier is like an athlete. I've never been in the military. I respect and admire and appreciate and honor all those men and women who have. But what I do know about the military, from what I've heard from those in the military, is that conditioning is of the utmost importance. And you are pushed to the limits. You're pushed to the limits to be physically ready, mentally ready, to be there when the soldiering has to happen. That's like an athlete. You've got to be prepared for everything. You've got to be prepared for everything. You've got to train. And then as a farmer, you've got to understand the hard work that a farmer does, and you have to be patient because you just don't plant the seed and have a crop the next day. You got to do all the work necessary. And all of those things relate back to the soldiering. So, to Timothy, he said in verse 1, you've got to be strong because you have been enlisted to be a soldier. If you'll go back to Ephesians, please, chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How can we be strong in the Lord? Three ways that I think we can be strong in the Lord. There's a number of others, but I'm going to give you three quick ones. How do we be strong in the Lord? Do we need to be strong in the Lord? I think that goes without question. All right, what's the opposite? Be weak in the Lord. What's going to happen if we are weak in the Lord? All right, there's going to be something that's going to happen. We are going to be vulnerable, aren't we? We're going to be vulnerable. And because the devil goes about as a what? Roaring lion. To do what? Seeking whom he may devour. And so to be a weak believer is to just invite attacks that could be damaging to us. So to be strong in the Lord is to at least be prepared and ready to do battle. Be strong in the Lord. How should I be strong in the Lord? Number one. Spending time in the Word of God will strengthen you and help you stand strong. You see, there's something amazing about this Bible of ours. And I won't take a long time this morning, but later when we deal with down where it says the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. We see the importance of the Word of God. It is likened to a sword. And in Paul's day, that sword was of the utmost importance for that soldier. It was like the gun of modern day soldiers. That sword was important. And that is the Word of God. Spending time in the Word of God will make us strong. Now, you may not recognize it right away. You may read a chapter, may read a passage, may read a verse, and you may not all of a sudden, like Popeye, see your muscles come popping out, da, 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 and get real mutated looking. That won't happen. But every time you read the Word, you are strengthening yourself as a soldier of the Lord. You are taking something in that will give you strength and help you stand strong. Every time you read the Word. Even if there's something in the Word you don't agree with, that is helping tear down some muscle, which back to the athlete comparison. When an athlete trains, he tears down muscles so the muscle can be built back stronger than it was before, right? And even when you read the Word and you go, I don't know that I believe that. Let that be a challenge to you. Dig at it, study it, and let the Lord and the Holy Spirit minister to you in that area. It'll only make you stronger. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so the Word of the Lord will help increase our strength so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The second thing that will strengthen us is spending time in prayer. Whenever we go to prayer, and of these seven elements that we'll see, probably not today. I can already see my time is going to slip away before I get there. But in the seven elements of the armor of God, the last one and the one that seems to envelope all the others is prayer. When we spend time in prayer, we are helping ourselves be strong in the Lord. When we are talking to God, when we are praying to Him. Now, I know that sometimes prayer frightens some folks because, especially if you're not used to spending time in prayer, you wonder, what can I say? And, you know, you want to pray, but you don't know what the words to say and those kind of things. And we can help with that. But what I want to say is when we talk about prayer, we're not talking about someone that is refined and polished and has it done. I mean, you know, I could call up Penny right now. Penny's our prayer leader sitting right over there. I could have her come right now, and I guarantee you she could pray a prayer that'll knock your socks off. She could do that. Now, don't ask her to do it out there because she wouldn't do that. Because, anyway, she wouldn't, because she's not wearing socks. But she could do that. The problem is, some people see that and say, well, I can never be an effective person of prayer because I can't pray like Penny. I got a secret for you. I can't pray like Penny. I can't even pray like Penny. She's an incredible prayer warrior. And that's a compliment to her, not to embarrass her, but that's something that the Lord has really refined in her life. But guess what? Your prayers, be they ever so small, are just as effective as Penny's. Right, Penny? Because it's not necessarily the quantity or the quality. It's the sincerity of the heart that calls out to God. That's the prayer. That the effective prayer that is prayed is a prayer of passion. It's a prayer from the bottom of our hearts. It's a prayer of desperation. It is a prayer that cries out to God. And whenever we call on the Lord in prayer, it will strengthen us. It will strengthen us. How many of you are dated and will date yourself and remember Ovaltine? It was purported to be the strengthener. You drink Ovaltine and you'll be able to jump over high mountains and ride your bikes faster. You can do amazing things if you just drink Ovaltine after you're done throwing it up in the bathroom. As you can tell, I didn't like Ovaltine. Prayer It is what will strengthen us as we talk to the Lord, find ourselves in His presence. The third thing, before I move to the next point I want to make this morning, the third thing is worship. Is worship. And Eddie said it, worship isn't just singing, but it's a big part of it. When we spend time in the presence of the Lord in what we call worship, we are strengthening ourselves. We're strengthening ourselves. I don't know if they do it as much now. I'm not in that loop. But I know years ago when it was kind of new, it was this tape thing, you know, where you put your earphones on, or, you know, the big earphones, not the little ones they have today. And I'm dating myself. And you had these motivational tapes. And you could exercise to them, and you could hear these music, and you'd hear these inspirational, you know, you can do it, you can do it, you've got what it takes, and, you know, motivational, you can, yeah, you can do that, you can make a million in real estate, and you can do all, and it was all, you know, to just really give someone the courage to move forward. And I don't know how well it worked, really, but this I know, that if you spend time in worship before the Lord, it will strengthen you. It will strengthen you. And I don't care what type of worship you like. I mean, if you like the old hymns, I love the old hymns. I don't sing much of them anymore, but I love them. Or whether it's the contemporary music we have today, and I love that stuff too. And I'm not as fond of as Christian rap, but, you know, if that's what's there, I'll do that too. But the important thing isn't the style, it's getting into the presence of the Lord with powerful music that will strengthen you and help you. Boy, my wife, she's got this thing covered. Every morning, on comes her music. Every Sunday morning, up comes her music. I find her at home at the table praying and reading her Bible. Up comes the music. I get in her van and she's got the music on. I don't know why she'll change it off Fox News, but she will change it to music. And the music is playing. The tapes are there. And I want to tell you, that kind of presence will make you strong in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, you can listen to other kind of music if you want to, and I'm not against that occasionally. I mean, you know, let's just face it. Sometimes the 50s music is just what a guy needs. But if you want to be strong in the Lord, enter into the presence of the Lord with worship. Amen. Amen? Time in His Word, time in prayer, and time in worship. And there's other things as well, but let's move on. Look at verse 11, 13, and 14. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To stand against the wiles of the devil. We're told to be strong in verse 10. In verse 11, we are told to stand against the wiles or the devices or the things the enemy attempts to come against us with. Look at verse 13. Verse 12 is a different subject. We'll deal with that later. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to, what? Withstand. Standing, but you're withstanding in the evil day. And having done all to, what? Stand. Verse 14, stand, therefore. Do you see a pattern working in those verses? Stand, withstand, so you can stand, so stand. Right? You think he's trying to get a point across? All right? He didn't say kneel. There's nothing wrong with kneeling. We're going to do that in a couple weeks. Call to fall. On July 1st, we're going to join churches across this nation in every service, both services. We're going to take time to fall on our knees and call on God for the needs of our nation. We did it last year, the year before. We're going to do it this year again. How many believe that's an important thing to do? Amen? As a body of believers, we're going to virtually join hands and lock arms with the churches across the nation as we fall to our knees. Now, some of you can't get on your knees, and I understand that, but we're going to get to a posture of kneeling in our heart, physically if we can, and we're going to call on the Lord in that service. But he didn't say kneel here. He said stand. 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 Withstand. And stand. The whole idea of the armor of God is to be worn while we're standing. Not running, but standing. There are some hills we've got to stand on, and if need be, die on for the sake of Jesus Christ. There are some hills not worth dying over. There's some battles not worth fighting. But I'm telling you, there are some battles that if we don't fight, we will lose big time. And we need to fight them. Come on. And we do that by standing in the Lord. Stand strong. Stand, therefore. Stand. You can go through your concordance, and you'll see that word over and over and over again. Stand. I'm not a great boxing fan, but I know this. You do it best if you're standing. Unless it's that other style that I don't understand much. It's like you can do this, and you can do this, and you can get on the ground and trip them up, and then you beat them up real hard. I don't know what that's called, but... Shame on you, Randy. God, I was trying to catch someone. Jesus, deliver him. No, I'm kidding. The old style boxing. You did it standing. You did it standing. Because it's when you're down that the count starts. Hello? It's when the count starts. And that's what the devil would like to do to warriors. He'd like us to put us on the mat and start the count. One, two, three, four, five, get up. Six, get up. Seven, get up. Eight, get up. Nine, get up. 10, you're out. You've lost. Paul said, no, you're a warrior. You don't go down, you stand up. No matter how many hits you take, no matter how scarred or barred you are, you stand against the wiles of the devil. That's how we have victory, and you'll have the armor to be able to help you do it. Come on. Stand. How do we stand? We put on the armor of God. Some of you will remember the old Superman movies, not the modern stuff. But I think it was it Clayton something that played Superman in my day? He was the one I liked. You that are younger wouldn't know that. I guess you can YouTube it. But I remember one scene where Superman stood there. What's dun, 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 is that? Dun, dun, dun. His cape, and he's in a shack, and the criminal's got a gun, and the criminal goes bang, 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 bang. And Superman's standing there, and the bullets are going pum, pum, just bouncing off, bouncing off, bouncing off, bouncing off. And the guy runs out of bullets, and he throws his gun, and Superman ducks. And Superman ducks. He'll stand there for the bullets. But boy, when they throw the gun, I better duck. So you can never tell what that gun will do if it hits me. Those bullets bounce right off. But boy, that gun, that could do some big damage. I better duck. Come on, look it up. Look up the video. It's cute. I fear that's what the church has done. We've stood for the bullets. But we duck when the gun is thrown. We duck when the gun is thrown. But I'm telling you, that gun thrown at us is nothing. We've got to stand. We've got to stand. And I'm afraid the church has made the mistake of ducking when it should have stood. And the Christians, sometimes the same. Come on, we're called to be warriors. Amen? What time is it? Oh my goodness. Take the big hand and move it back. Be strong in the Lord. No, I'm done. Stand. And then the next thing I want to talk about, and I'll start here next week, is verse 12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And this is one of the most important things I think we need to understand when it comes to being a warrior for the Lord, is recognizing who our enemy is. And let me just give you a foretaste. Paul made it very clear when it came to people, as much as lies within us, we must try to be at peace with them. Whether it's people who agree with us or people who disagree with us, we're to live at peace with them. But there's another passage of Scripture in the New Testament, and I won't give that to you, where Jesus made it very plain. Very plain. That you may do a peace treaty with an earthly king to stop war. But the Bible makes it very clear, you never make a peace treaty with the devil. Never. We will lose every time when we do. The Christian warrior. To be continued. Let's stand together, please. Lord, you've called us to be warriors. How do we do that? Your word will teach us that. The armor of God itself will show us how we are to do warfare. You've told us in the Psalms 27, though a host rise against me, though a multitude bring war against me, I will not be afraid, because the Lord is on my side. Father, we've got a choice to make in our generation. We've got a choice to make in our day. We will stand or we will cower. And God, the last thing in the world I want to do is to cower. I want to stand strong in the Lord, no matter what it costs. My battle is not with people. Our battle is not with individuals that we may vehemently disagree with. But our battle is with forces in the unseen world. Our battle is against principalities and powers, not governments in this world. And you've shown us how to do battle with the unseen world. And we're going to talk about that, Lord, next week. But today, Lord, I want us to know and walk away from the service knowing we've been called to be warriors. We've been called to be warriors. To put on the full armor of God. Lord, speak to every heart. Speak to our men today. It's Father's Day. Speak to every man that can hear my voice right now. And remind them of their call to be a warrior. For the sake of their family, for the sake of their children, for the sake of their grandchildren, for the sake of their marriage, for the sake of the church. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great. Lord, challenge our men to be warriors, to put on the whole armor of God. to stand and to stand strong for the Lord. Even if we've fallen to the mat. And there may be a man here today that's on the mat and he hears the nine count. Get him up, Lord. Get him up. Get him back on his knees. Stagger though he may. The Lord Jehovah, the God of the armies of heaven, will be there to help him. Help us all, Lord, to see that we are called to be warriors. And Lord, energetically say, yes, Lord, I will be a soldier in the army of the Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's applaud the Lord today and thank him for his word. Amen.